like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
One, two.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
It is Taz and the Moose with you, third and final hour here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike Pete across the way, Andrew with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go, Taz, and coming up in about 20 or so minutes, Kendall Gill will join us, right? NBC Sports Chicago, talk a little bit about the NBA.
Awesome. Yes, it's going to be great.
All right. Here we go. We'll kick off this third and final hour. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Clippers save the NBA.
They do, in no uncertain terms. Parity is the word, Taz. We discussed it earlier on the program. We'll get Gil's thoughts on it as well. A league known for dominant teams. Now you can look at it and say, the Clippers might be the betting favorite, or someone might have a lean toward the Lakers, or maybe the 76ers, or maybe the Bucks,
right?
Or maybe the Boston Celtics, Rockets. I mean, there are a number of teams that are in the mix where you could see maybe with the right path, and we haven't even started the regular season or training camps yet. I mean, we're still playing, you know, summer league out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can see a number of teams, handful of teams, win NBA championship. We've talked about it earlier, refreshing for the league.
Yeah, it is. It's great for the league. It's needed. I mean, instead of three, four guys hooking up and making this dominant powerhouse, you know, super team, you got a bunch of, as I'm calling, dynamic duos, man, all over the place. You know, with AD and LeBron with the Lakers and KD and Kyrie with the Nets. I know KD's going to be out of here with the Achilles, but you got now Kyrie Leonard, I should say, and PG with the Clippers. Who am I missing? Golden State with Russell and Steph Curry. It's, you know, this is going to be awesome. I mean, we're looking forward to it. We've had a lot of people call the show. A couple of different thoughts from folks, but most feel like they're looking forward to a really good NBA season, which it seems like 2020 will be.
Yeah, and we know now all the background in terms of those meetings. Everything was kept on the down low, the quiet, that Kawhi Leonard told the Clippers, go get Paul George, and then had to convince Paul George. They met out in Southern California, convinced Paul George to go to Sam Presti, the general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder, request a trade to the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Clippers give up the Kings' ransom to get the 28-year-old star, 29-year-old star from Oklahoma City. So now it's George and Kawhi Leonard. So Leonard picks his running mate with the Los Angeles Clippers, as you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. Strange how everything does play out, Taz. You feel bad, as you mentioned earlier on the show, and rightfully so, you feel bad for the Raptors, as Toronto becomes basically now, after winning an NBA championship, they become a team that, not a doormat, they could still be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, but their big-time significant star leaves, but it was a gamble that paid off because at least they won an NBA title.
Yeah, it stinks for the Raptors. They took the high road. They sent out on social media messages to Kawhi Leonard, basically, you know, saying thanks and whatnot. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, so that was very classy of them, of the Raptors. They didn't have to do that. You know, that was cool that they did that. You do see teams do that. They're not the only team who's ever done that, but it's very cool. And, yeah, you do feel for them. I mean, I think they're going to, you know, they got that championship, and now it's like, all right, well, you know, really, is Lowry going to take it to the promised land? Like, I don't know what they're going to do there. So,
They're going to have to, you know, Masai Ujiri's not going to have to reassess, right? They're going to have to hope that Pascal Siakam develops into a star up there in Toronto. They believe he can be. Kyle Lowry can lead that team. But, I mean, the team was, for 1 year, it was all about Kawhi Leonard leading that team to a championship. He did. Now he is gone. So now they have to deal with the after effects. But Leonard at least delivered in his one and only year up in Toronto.
Yeah, no, he did. He delivered big time. And you know, there's a lot of kids that got exposed right away to basketball this past season up in Canada, in Toronto. Maybe not weren't into basketball as much, but they see this star named Kawhi Leonard and see him on their TV all the time and see him on TV commercials and whatnot, hear him on the radio, whatever. And it's like, wow, you know, if you're a young kid, maybe up there in Toronto, you're into basketball, and even though Kawhi's gone, so it's, maybe he's changed the culture up there a little bit. Well, not that he invented basketball in Canada. I'm not even implying that. I'm just saying he done so great up there and was loved so much that I do think that, you know, that it's going to carry on with the grassroots of the game up in Toronto.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see what they do here moving forward. But for the NBA, it's a lot about parity. And the Clippers have got their two big stars. Now let's see what Doc Rivers, Jerry West, and that crew, Lawrence Frank as well, what they do here moving forward. All right, number two.
Number two.
USA repeats as World Cup champions.
Yeah, back-to-back Taz, fourth overall.
Awesome.
Which was amazing. Megan Rapinoe scored the 61st minute on a penalty kick. Then you get an add-on a little bit later on as well by Rose. And they win the game 2-0, beat the Netherlands 2-0. They never trailed in the tournament, went in as an overwhelming favorite. Dealt with some criticism, some backlash, even got a little political at times.
Yeah.
And over the course of, what, five and a half weeks here, Taz, they delivered. And a chance of equal pay over in Lyon, France, as this match was being contested afterward. It was a big American contingent.
Oh, big
time. I mean,
time.
There was a lot of American fans out there in France.
No doubt. There was. I watched the whole game. My wife and I watched. It was great. It was great yesterday watching it. Great scene that's happened. Once that PK happened, you know, by Rapinoe. How do you say her name again? Rapinoe. I was saying her name wrong.
Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe, yes. It was awesome. Seeing her nail that PK, that was huge. I'll tell you, the Netherlands team was tough. They were tough. This game was, there was no score for quite some time, for a good chunk of the game. And, you know, it's just awesome to see. And look, there are some look at these U.S. women, this U.S. team as a, they're arrogant, and they have an ego, and they have this. There's all these negative adjectives about them. Hey, man, the heck with all that. I'm super proud to say that these girls represent our country in the great sport of soccer and how dominant they've been back-to-back winning, you know, World Cups and stuff like that. It's awesome. I was happy for Rose Lavelli to get that second goal.
Beautiful goal,
too. It was awesome goal. Awesome goal. I mean, and you know, it's really... You know, a lot of people, obviously, you know, she doesn't get the same hype, really, as Alex Morgan does. But she stepped up big time, and it was really awesome to see, and to put them in a catbird seat to go on and win the game. It was fun. It was fun to watch. And you're right. There was a ton of Americans in the audience there in France going crazy for this American team. So it was pretty cool. Scary moment, though, was Kelly O'Hara from the U.S., and I can't recall the lady's name from the Netherlands. Where they both went up for head, you know, they kind of headbutted each other as they were going to head the ball, and they both went down. It was nasty. The replay was like, wow, their skulls just collided. Heavy duty. Both ladies were down. Both trainers and medics came out and stuff, but they were both able to get back in the game. I got to tell you, not to be a downer here on this thing here, but man, they gotta figure something out. With, like, you know, as the knowledge we all have as a sports society. With CTE and concussions and stuff like that. I got to tell you, these two girls, they didn't even go to the bench. They waited in the box area for the ref to allow them both back on you know, on the playing field. And they just kept playing. Like, they were down for a little bit. I mean, I don't know if they were getting a concussion test while
they
were sitting
there. I thought O'Hara left at halftime, no?
She came back on.
I thought she was replaced at halftime.
She might have been replaced that, but my point is she got back on right away.
Right away, I got gotcha. You.
Know, I know they're not wearing helmets at the NFL, and
yeah.
But she
did go back on the field.
That's
but,
the part, right? That was a little. I was just saying, like, wow, why is
that's
there,
fair?
Why are they not like as all these ladies hit heads a lot?
Yeah,
they're unprotected. They have zero equipment on except for maybe some shin pads.
Well, there was another one later on in the second half where one of the United States women's team got opened up, right?
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
that I didn't
she,
see.
There was a head-to-head collision, and she suffered a cut right above her eyebrow. Did you see that?
I missed a little bit after the second half. I did miss a few minutes.
No, but it was similar. I mean, it was similar into where going up for a header, similar to what you saw earlier on. But this time she came down and the blood was trickling down.
Yeah.
Well, not her nose, right above her eyebrow.
But I got you.
But she opened up, opened her up a little bit, which was scary to see. But yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
we've talked about that issue before. And soccer, has been aggressive with it at certain levels, right? I mean, because you look at junior soccer, haven't they relegated headers out?
I think they have. I don't follow soccer that much.
I thought I remember reading that. Dealing with CTE.
I would believe that. Yeah, I thought certain levels of younger soccer,
that is, they've relegated that out of the game.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right on it. They should. I mean, when you see them, I mean, these are women. These aren't kids, obviously, and these are adults, and these are prime athletes. They don't get enough credit. All these ladies that, I mean, they are just amazing athletes. I've been watching this. Normally, I don't watch soccer much, but I tell you what, I've been watching this and watching this U.S. team. And I tweeted out wishing them luck before the game. A lot of people are like, they're easy not to like this team. And I'm like, what? Because they ran a score up on the first team, or because they celebrate excessively what they were in that first game. Hey, listen, man, it's tough enough to make the team. Once you make that team, and you're representing your country, they got to be feeling great. They go in and they smoke the first country they played. I can't recall who it was.
Thailand.
Thailand. Okay, there you go. Yeah. So it was like 13-0, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the criticism came down about how they celebrate goals. Remember, they should have let up. And then,
meanwhile, it should be equal pay. And while the medals were given out last night, equal pay. Equal. I heard that's going to happen here in the station. Chance at equal pay.
Yes.
In the newsroom. That's what I heard.
They should be.
Rumors about that.
Right. Then you'd be shown the door, ushered out.
Right here, sir. Please go this way here.
Right. Is that your ID? Thank you.
We'll take that.
Bathroom's on the right.
See you later.
There's the elevators.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm joking. but you're right about it was it was a great scene. And congratulations to the United States women's team. Just came in as favorites, and to win as favorites and dealing with all that kind of pressure, Taz, it's a testament to them. So fantastic job.
Absolutely. Here we go.
All right, next.
Number 3.
Angels catcher Jonathan Lucroy carted off following home plate collision.
Nah, scary.
Bad.
Yeah, it really is. Astros and Angels player was rightfully so based on rules called out. Head-to-head collision. I mean, you go on, Francisco Cervelli, former Yankee Pirates catcher, after suffering his 6th concussion, Taz, said he's no longer catching. And we know about the effects of multiple concussions and CTE and that it could have on the brain on athletes long term. You could suffer a concussion anyway, but multiple concussions, the effect that it could have on the human brain long term later on in life. This one was scary. I mean, Lucroy, who was out, it was a head-to-head collision. Helmet came flying off. Really, really scary moment. You never want to see anybody hurt like that. It really is, especially on a baseball diamond, Taz. It's one of those collisions, if you see it once, you're good. You don't need to see it again. And then when he comes through or comes to and you see his eyes, it's just...
He was knocked out.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to see in baseball.
No,
you don't want to see that in any way, shape, or form. And a scary incident. That's why, if you want to know why baseball got rid of home plate collisions, look at that replay last night. Yesterday during the final game before the All-Star break, and that's the reason why.
Yeah, no, I agree. Lucroy just, he had his cage taken. You know, he took his face mask off, obviously, just had his helmet on.
Yeah.
And to your point, it was helmet to helmet. I think a portion of the helmet by Jake hit the side of the temple area of the right temple of Lucroy. I think that's what knocked him out cold. I watched it a couple times. And to add on to that, Moose, what a lot of people don't realize, after Lucroy gets hit, watch his head bounce off the hard dirt because he's knocked out.
Yeah.
That adds to the concussion. That's
scary.
That's happened to me in a ring, where I got dinged up bad in the head, And then my head hit the mat even harder, which added to the concussion, made it worse.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so this was ugly. And yeah, they really, you know, I remember when I was young, you know, I'm sure you were the same way, and you're playing Little League. And you look forward to this. Like, you want to, you know, if I get a chance, I'm gonna drill the catcher. You know, when you're a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because you saw guys years ago do it and stuff. But I think today it's just the athletes are so much bigger and faster and stronger than back in the day. That adds to this. This was ugly. And this was ugly. And so they gotta figure this out, and just they gotta avoid this happening ever again. I mean, it's just bad.
Well, it's bad, and that's why the rules are in place, Taz, to prevent this from happening. It's scary. You know, we know more about head injuries now than we ever have before in the past. The work by in the medical field and the advancement, it continues each and every day. That's why baseball got rid of this. They don't want those kind of scenes anymore. And it was a scary, very, very scary incident.
I mean, he lowered his shoulder heavy. Resident.
He did.
I mean, he lowered his shoulder heavy duty. I mean, and, you know, I understand, you know, and it wasn't even like the ball. You can't even say that. Luke Roy was blocking the baseline because he really wasn't.
I think he was going for the collision.
He went out of the Mrazek went out of the baseline to hit him.
Yeah,
he did.
You know, he did. Yeah. But I don't think he was looking for the head to head the way that it played out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I agree with you. I don't think he wanted to hurt him.
I agree with you. Yeah, it was just. You know, unfortunately, it was bad timing. Timing, circumstance, the way it played out. But you're right about that. It looked like, and Luke Roy did everything he could to try and play within the new Major League rules. It wasn't like he was sitting right in front of home plate.
Yeah, he wasn't, and he was not blocking the line. And, you know, the thing is, too, Luke Roy, if you watch it, he's more or less defenseless because what he's doing, he's watching the ball come in. The ball came in on bounce. So he's trying to catch that ball on a bounce, and as the ball hits his glove, he gets just lit up. You know, just bad. And he's defenseless because he can't keep his eye. Now, let's say he caught the ball and he sees Jake Mariznick coming in full speed. Okay, then at least he sees it coming. I'm telling you from experience, like getting hit a lot, like in my life physically getting hit.
Yeah.
When you don't see it coming, it's worse. And that's how you get knocked out.
Is when your brain can't brace yourself for it.
Right. Your brain doesn't know it's coming.
Gotcha.
And it really, that split second of seeing it coming makes it worse.
Oh, interesting.
That's why I know, like, over the years, my son playing lacrosse, if there's a pass that's high and he's about to catch it and I see a guy coming on an angle, and I would just automatically, I knew he didn't, never would hear me, I would just yell, you know, incoming. Screamed, and he knew when I would tell him, if you ever hear me say incoming, that means you're about to get hit. He's like, Dad, the guys on the team are yelling stuff too. They're letting guys know when you're about to get hit. It's the same.
It's better to know.
So you know you're about to get hit.
Yeah. Interesting. Did he ever tell you he heard you or no?
Never. He ignored me. He still ignores me. Off the field.
I'm curious if he did.
No, he never. Never. He
ever said, Dad, thanks for the heads up?
Never.
No.
Nope.
Second half.
He would never even say, Dad, thanks for the ride to the field. Oh, no, I'm kidding. He never heard me say anything, except once I yelled at him.
Yeah.
But it was during a dead ball. Oh, you know, he got beat by a kid. He was like in seventh grade.
Jesus.
And oh, dude, I was.
I'm sure you're all in.
I was bad. Oh, yeah. You gotta win. You gotta make me look good, son.
There are your top three stories on this Monday morning. Luke Roy again knocked out. Very, very scary collision in the Angels and Astros game. The Angels catcher, the Clippers, saving the NBA. And congratulations to the United States Women's National Team on winning their second World Cup title in a row, fourth overall. We'll come back. We got an update from Bogish, and we've got Kendall Gill joining us. And we're going to make home run derby selections.
Yes, looking for. I want to just clarify one thing. My son did get beat on that play in seventh grade, but later on in the game, he stripped the kid of the ball and got an assist. Just wanted to point that part out.
All right, for those keeping track at home.
Well, like my kid, if he happens to listen. Sometimes he might listen to our podcast.
Very nice.
He might be a dad. Maybe he's like a scrub.
Taz, if anyone's been listening to this show for 19 months, we know your son's not a scrub.
All right.
We're good. Right.
Kendall Gill. Looking forward to that.
Yes, Kendall Gill. Yes, we'll be joining us here momentarily. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it's Taz and the Moose with you. Wish we could continue that conversation.
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
No. Kendall Gill will join us here. Yes. Momentarily, we'll talk a little bit about all things around the NBA. Ask him how his July 4th weekend was. Was he at a party with a smoker like Taz was?
Yeah, did he take
we'll get all the details.
Like
correct, yes. A Bogus is in the house. What's going on, Andrew? How are you?
Oh, hey, guys.
All right, take it away.
All of the reported NBA signings and trades slowly becoming official now. The Nets formally announced their signings of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant yesterday. Durant then announced that he will be wearing number 7 as a member of the Nets. He has only worn number 35 through his 12-year NBA career. Now, he explained in a series of social media posts last night why he wore number 35, but didn't really explain why he picked 7, only saying as this new chapter begins in his career, it's time for a new number. And again, that number is 7. A trade yesterday in the NBA as well. A sign and trade. Delon Wright goes from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Dallas Mavericks with a 3-year, $29 million contract. The Grizzlies get back 2 future second-round picks. They keep their financial flexibility. They got Wright as part of the Marc Gasol package from the Raptors back at the deadline. American veteran Allison Risk has knocked off top-seeded Ash Barty 3-6, 6-2, 6-3 to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal just getting on court. Teenager Coco Gauff takes on Simona Halep after Serena on number 1 court. U.S. women's soccer on its way home with their 4th World Cup in tow. They will celebrate yesterday's 2-0 win over the Netherlands with a parade through Lower Manhattan Wednesday morning. The U.S. men went for their own far less important title last night and didn't get it against Mexico in Chicago.
Pizarro's cross. Jimenez brought it down. Jimenez Dos Santos. And off the bar. It was coming from Mexico. And it's Jonathan Dos Santos who puts him in front.
And that is John Strong on FS1. Jonathan Dos Santos scoring in the 73rd minute. The only goal in Mexico's 1-0 win in the Gold Cup final at Soldier Field. No home run derby tonight in Cleveland for Brewers right fielder Christian Yelich. He's got a sore back, not a sniff back, but at the moment, Yelich is still in tomorrow's All-Star game. Pirates catcher Francisco Cervelli says he will not be a catcher anymore. He's recovering from concussion number 6, which he suffered in late May when hit in the chin by a broken bat. Cervelli has been taking ground balls, mostly at third base, since being cleared for baseball activities. And a quick hockey note, the Carolina Hurricanes have officially matched the 5-year, $42 million offer sheet center Sebastian Aho signed with the Canadiens. Montreal made 21 mil of that due over the first 21 months, hoping Carolina would not match that offer, but match it they did. All of that, by the way, sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. I'm reading this off my phone.
Sure.
Try them on
really?
Today. Because I forgot to put it into my script before I walked into the studio late as usual. Guys, back
all right,
to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Buddy. Kendall Gill joins us now, NBC Sports Chicago, Bulls NBA analyst, 15-year NBA vet. He's joined us a number of times before, friend of the program. Hey, Kendall, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Kendall, what's up?
Hey, nothing much, guys. Just trying to recover from that 50 and over league I played in yesterday. You know, just don't heal up like I used to.
Well, I thought you were gonna say July 4th, Kendall. We want to hear about the party you were at. How'd you celebrate the 4th?
We grilled a little bit, and you know, everybody came over and everything. Just a normal thing. That's all.
Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, right,
that's good.
What was as we all take it in over the weekend, Kendall? As the news breaks late on the East Coast, late out West, but not nearly as late, that's going to be Kawhi Leonard and Paul George out with Los Angeles and the Clippers. What do you think about how everything played out and that duo with the Clippers for Doc Rivers?
Well, it was wild. I did not expect that. That came out of left field. But I heard rumors that Toronto was trying to do the same thing to acquire Paul George, but the reason why the deal fell through is because Toronto was unwilling to add Pascal Siakam in that deal. But here's the thing. I don't understand unless Kawhi Leonard just wants to be in L.A., why he made this move. You know, he goes to L.A. now, and of course, you know, L.A. is, you know, and he's, that's home state, California and everything. But if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I go back to Toronto and see if I can run it back. You know, and they left $50 million on the table, a championship caliber team, a team that you just won a championship with, to go play with Paul George, a guy really who hasn't won anything. Yeah, I know Paul George is a wonderful player. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm not going to go do that. And then across town, you got a team that is fully loaded now. You're not beating those guys.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers next year. You know, so... I don't understand the move, you know, by Kawhi, unless he just wanted to go back to California.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I Kendall, I agree with you. And Moose and I were talking about this last week a good amount. We kind of both thought we were on the same page that Kawhi was gonna stay with Toronto. You know, I wasn't shocked that he went to, you know, that he didn't go to play with LeBron, because, and this is what I want to ask you. I mean, do you feel that maybe he didn't want to go play? Kawhi didn't want to go play with LeBron and AD because he felt like he was going to be second or maybe even third fiddle. You know what I mean? And as a player, you know, a lot of guys want to be the guy, want to be the hood ornament. You know, do you think that crossed his mind?
Yeah, I'm sure it crossed his mind. But I mean, if you're already the guy.
Right, I think he should have stayed with Toronto too. I'm with you.
He was already the man. The great in one season, he eclipsed Vince Carter as being the greatest player in Toronto Raptor history by winning a championship and having the year that he had. And you know, I would never, and I know this crossed his mind going to play with LeBron. He had to play second fiddle and everything because he's not second fiddle. This guy is probably next to LeBron the best player in the NBA. Right now. And I was just disappointed, man, because I really wanted him to see if he could win another one with the Toronto Raptors. My question now is, you guys, how does the city of Toronto feel right now?
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were saying that earlier.
At least he delivered them a title. You know, they took the gamble, Kendall. At least they gambled and they won. At least they didn't, you know, at least they didn't get eliminated and then he leaves. I mean, they had insult to injury. At least they got to celebrate and win the Larry O'Brien trophy. I mean, that's the one positive. The one thing, Kendall, I would say this, but any superstar, I mean, even as brilliant as Kawhi is, when you go to LeBron's team, isn't that LeBron's team?
It is LeBron's team. You know, whoever goes there, you know, but you know, I'm glad that he didn't go to the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, if he did have to go, you know, I'm glad that he didn't go there. You know, because they're trying to win it this year. The Los Angeles Lakers are, and I actually hate the idea of super teams being put together.
Yep.
You know, and that would just be another super team that he would have joined. So, but he goes to the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's see what he can do with Doc Rivers and Paul George. I don't think they're going to be able to do much. Yeah, they're two great players, but also they duplicate each other. You know, that's another thing that people aren't talking about. They really have the same game, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Kendall, how happy do you think overall, like how overall the happiness of the league office is with the way free agency went this year?
I think that they're happy because everybody was tuned in. And then I go back to the phrase Don King used to say, I don't care what the F you do, just as long as they tune in.
That's it. I agree.
and the league with all these free agents had movement, had everybody tuned in. And, you know, I had no idea that KD was just going to up and leave and go across country, go play with the Nets. Kawhi leaves. AD goes to L.A., Jimmy Butler goes to Miami, Al Horton goes to Philly. So the landscape of the league has really changed, and there's a lot of parity in the league now. You know, a lot of people have to switch hats because a lot of their favorite players went to different teams, and, you know, I think that the league is happy with it.
Kendall, let's get quick thoughts on some of these other things. You think right now, you know, for the Laker fan that's listening, you think the Lakers should be the favorite to win the championship next year, correct?
Oh, yeah. I haven't checked the Vegas odds, but I'm pretty sure they're at the top of the near the top of the heap as far as winning a championship. You know, with AD and he signed Danny Green, who's won two or three championships, and then you fill in the blank with DeMarcus Cousins, and you get you bring a Rondo back. You already got LeBron.
You got Kuzma.
All that championship experience, and you know, it's gonna be a rock star show. You remember how the guys, how the Chicago Bulls once were with Michael Jordan, how everybody followed them around. You know, we're gonna get sick and tired of seeing the Lakers on national TV this year. That's how good they're gonna be because all the networks are gonna be tuned in to seeing that team.
Unfortunately, some of us have to talk about that every day on the radio.
Yeah, right.
Kendall, so where do you think the best spot is for Russell Westbrook, man? We were talking about Westbrook, you know, a lot earlier, and you know, I just want to get your thoughts on that. What do you think the best spot is? Is it the Heat? Is it Orlando Magic? What do you think on Westbrook?
Right here in Chicago.
There you go.
and you know, I wouldn't mind giving up, you know, a lot of players for him. He is a superstar. He can play in a major market. He can be part of the reason why this franchise gets back to the playoffs and is considered a contender. I don't know what John Paxson and Gar Foreman are doing at this moment, but if I were them, I would be on the phone with the Oklahoma City Thunder working the phones trying to get a once-in-a-lifetime talent here in Chicago. I think he'd go great with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. Wendell Carter, he has a great nucleus to play with as far as young players, and they can follow his lead. So I think Chicago is the best place for him.
You know, it's interesting, Kendall. Taz and I were having this discussion. What about the personality of Westbrook? Would it concern you that Durant ran from Oak City to go to Golden State, that Paul George reportedly, him and Westbrook after year two, weren't exactly seeing eye to eye? Then he got convinced to ask for a trade from OKC by Kawhi Leonard. Would Westbrook's personality and meshing with other stars' games bother you at all?
Nah, that wouldn't bother me because there's no other star on this team yet. You know, Westbrook would be the guy.
That's fair.
You know, Zach LaVine is coming up. I think he'll be an all-star next year if he adds a defense to his game. Lauri Markkanen. Those guys actually need an example of what it takes to be on that level. So that's why I would have no problem bringing him on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, that I can see that happening for sure, Kendall. Let me ask you, because Moose and I were talking again about Westbrook earlier and about Jimmy Butler, about Westbrook and Butler playing together with the Heat. You know, those guys both have a similar work ethic. They're grinders on once the tip-off happens. They don't stop, as you know. Those guys are both play super hard. They're hard workers. But yet, you know, they both have a similarity, and maybe they don't mesh well with other guys on the roster. Let's just say it didn't happen in Chicago and Westbrook went. You think he could play with the Heat with Butler?
No. It seems like Jimmy does have problems playing with other superstars. I mean, it happened here in Chicago with Derek.
Right.
He goes to Minnesota. He didn't really mesh well with Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Goes to Philly. And, you know, I thought Jimmy played great in the playoffs with Philly. But, I mean, you know, they've got two stars there. So, you know, you add another one with Westbrook. I don't know whether Jimmy will be happy with that. I think Jimmy likes to play in his own sandbox, guys.
So you think Butler basically went to Miami to be the guy, and you don't know if necessarily he'd be all that in favor of bringing that secondary star or a guy that's even better than he is down in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, if it was about winning with Jimmy, which is what he says all the time, then he would have stayed in Philly. You know, because I really think that Philly team is pretty good with Jimmy Butler on it. You know, they came up one game short of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, and he could have got the most money in Philly. So why leave? You know, I think that the 76ers probably would have rather given that money to him rather than Tobias Harris, even though Tobias Harris is a great player. But I think that Jimmy saw, and I was having actually a discussion with a guy yesterday, I think Jimmy Butler saw, okay, they have two all-stars on this team. It's going to be hard for me to make the all-star team, so I have to go someplace else where I can let my game shine. And I think that's the reason why he chose Miami.
A final one for me, Kendall, is this. Do you think, because it's kind of the question, we had a number of callers call our show earlier on, parity in the NBA, even though you like the Lakers to win the title, there's some going to argue about the Clippers or maybe the 76ers or, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks or maybe a healthy Golden State Warrior team should Klay Thompson return at some point in the regular season for the Golden State Warriors, because they'll still have their big three throwing D'Angelo Russell. Do you think parity in the NBA is good for the league?
Yeah, I think it is, because now we don't know who's going to win it. I mean, this time last year, we all anticipated the Golden State Warriors winning. And had they been healthy, they probably would have. Toronto would not have beaten them, let's be honest. But the Toronto Raptors end up winning it. So now KD leaves. So now the apple cart is turned over. Everything is shaken up. And now you don't have the mighty Golden State Warriors anymore as they were. So now the door is wide open. And let's not forget the Houston Rockets, too. They may come back and,
that's a good point,
and play great, too. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the league loves it because they really don't know who's going to win the championship next year. I mean, and listen, the Lakers probably have the highest odds to get there, but you still really don't know.
Kendall Gill, NBC Sports Chicago, NBA analyst, 15-year NBA veteran. Hey, Kendall, we appreciate the time this morning on this Monday.
Hey, guys, thanks. And last thing I'm going to say is that, you know, one of my friends yesterday said, you know, how is it going to be when the Toronto Raptors are introduced? And they say, Toronto Raptors, the world champions. And the announcer, was it, what are you supposed to say, not really?
Yeah, Kendall, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kendall. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it. Have yourself a good Monday.
Take care, bud. That's funny.
That is funny. Yeah, the Raptor fan celebrating that championship. And watching Kawhi Leonard now slip on that Clipper jersey. Ugh, that's going to be tough.
That's rough.
That's a rough one.
That's rough.
We'll come back. Home run derby tonight in Cleveland, Ohio. Major League Baseball has hit the All-Star break. They got the derby tonight, All-Star game tomorrow night. But we'll run through the odds and give you our home run derby picks. Taz and the Moose style. We'll do that next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It's time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in Pittsburgh. Who wins the home run derby tonight? Yes, we'll get to that.
Perfect timing.
Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So the field is set, right? Matt Chapman of the Athletics, Pete Alonso of the Mets, Josh Bell of the Pirates, Alex Bregman of the Strohs, Jock Peterson of the Dodgers, Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, Carlos Santana of the Indians, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays. So let me give you the odds, Taz.
All right.
For our listening audience. Josh Bell?
Yeah.
You're 7-2 favorite. So I was wrong. I thought Alonso was. So Bell is your 7-2 to favorite, having an unbelievable year for the Pirates. Wow. Vlad Guerrero Jr., 9-2. Jock Peterson and Alonso, Pete Alonso of the Mets, are both 5-1 as co-third choice. Fourth choice, Carlos Santana at 7-1. Matt Chapman and Alex Bregman are both 8-1. And then the longest shot on the board is Ronald Acuna Jr. from the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-mm-mm.
So there you go.
Well, I want to go on the record first here and say, and this is no shock to anyone who knows our program, I am no fan of the home run derby. I feel it's not good for the players. You and I differ in this. We've had many disputes, debates, even before we had our own show. You came on my show back in the day, and we had an argument about this.
Remember that? Right. I do remember that. Yes.
You came on as a guest, and we had an argument. And then we were like, wow, we got to do a show together.
Yes, that's exactly right. I do remember that. I forgot it now that you mentioned it. Remember that, yes.
And I kept bringing up, what's his name? Bobby Abreu.
Abreu, right.
And who was it? It was a Yankee. It was a Yankee that won or was in the home run derby. Who was that? It had to be about 4 years ago. 3 years. I can't recall.
Well, Judge won it.
Maybe it was about Judge.
Well, a couple years ago.
That was Judge then. Yes. I was going crazy. Right. I was like, this is bad. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was a problem. So, but not a problem. You know,
no,
debate.
We've debated about the home run derby and whether you like it or not. Right, impact on the players and the league.
Right. So. The thing is, after the break, you know what happens. I feel like these guys, that there's only so many home runs in your body throughout the year. You feel different. I feel like this could really hurt guys. So my one of the bright stars, the only bright things about my team, the New York Mets, is Pete Alonso, who, as you just laid out perfectly, is in the Derby, in the Home Run Derby tonight. And I am going to sound like a homer, but I think he's going to win it.
Yeah.
Maybe because I've watched him so closely and watch the power of this guy and how quick his hands are and just the way the ball just flies off his bat. So my favorite in the Home Run Derby, not my favorite, the guy I think is going to win is going to be, you know, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the polar bear. Give me Pete Alonso.
Polar Bear Jones.
Yes. I think easy guy to root for. Very, very likable. You know, 30 home runs in, what, the 80, 70, I mean, maybe a little bit more games that the Mets have played up until this point in time.
30, it feels like 300 games.
Yes, exactly. That has felt like a long first half for the Mets. Take Alonso at 5-1. I will. Yeah.
You know what? For him to hit, Moose, for him to hit these dingers like he's been hitting on a team that just, well, it's because of it's a good team offensively. It's just the pitching's just been horrible.
Yeah, bullpen's been bad.
Yeah, for him to keep his motivation up is very, very impressive that he could stay. You know, him and McNeil playing so well, but for Pete Alonso to go and be hitting them as home runs as he hit. What did he just pass Dave Kingman for the who hit it? And I think who was the leader at the end of the All-Star break for the Mets? I think it was Kingman, like 1976. I think it was.
Yeah, you could. He's had an unbelievable first half. Now a little bit longer first half this year as compared to years gone by because of the fact they start a little bit earlier. But yeah, to play the point, yeah. Taz, he's had an unbelievable. If I were to take a long shot, why not give Acuna Jr. at 10-1? An opportunity. He's a young outfielder.
Hell of a player for the Atlanta Braves.
It's kind of, you're picking here guys not to be able to get tired, guys that are going to be able to deal with the repetitive nature, trying to drive the ball over the fence. I mean, there's a lot to do with that. I'll take Acuna as well at 10-1. If I were to make two plays, I'd take Alonso and Acuna. Those would be the two I'd bet.
Bregman stinks. That's all I'm happy. Enough of the Astros. What's Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s?
9-2, second choice.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see him do well in that. Yeah, he's a big dude like his dad. You know, so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Vlad Guerrero Jr. For the Blue Jays do something. Maybe be second to Alonso. This could just thought about this. For my New York Mets, this could be like the World Series. So if Pete Alonso wins, it's like we just won the World Series. You know what I mean? Same but different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nope. Same but different. There's nothing not to like about the way that Alonso conducts himself.
Yeah, he does.
That's his performance on the field, the way he handles the media afterward, Taz. And I think Net fans celebrate. Did you, when Durant sent out on social media, so on 7-7 at 7 o'clock, Durant last night unveiled the fact that he was going to be wearing number 7.
Right.
Pete Alonso then hopped on Twitter and said, "Can't wait to get myself one of these."
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
Interesting. Wow.
So Net fans celebrated. Net Met fans celebrated and rejoiced.
Mikey
all
B,
across
line
the Tri-State
one.
Area.
Mikey B.
That's
line
exactly
one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's like, oh my God. Just doesn't get any better than this.
Alonso knows the Nets play in Brooklyn.
Now there's a cohesion. Alonso's now a Brooklyn Net fan. They're doing it. They're taking over New York.
Little by little.
That's it.
That's hilarious. Who do you like, Mike, tonight in the Derby?
I'm going with Pittsburgh. I like Bell.
Bell. All right. All right. No problem. And how about you, baseball savant?
I'm Pete going Mr. Alonso.
Yeah.
So three of us on the polar bear.
Yes. All right. I'll pass on that last comment, but okay.
What?
I don't know. I mean, it was fun. There's a line in there somewhere.
I know there is. I know. Why don't you just say it?
No, because parting words. No, I'm good. I'm good, bro. I know when to bite my tongue.
Our thanks to Mike, Pete across the way, Bogish with the updates, and to Kendall Gill. Taz, enjoy your Monday, buddy.
I'll see you in a couple days.
Yes, until tomorrow. Peace.